going to say to us is, be not afraid. He's going to attack fear this morning because fear is gripping the hearts of many of our people. Some of you might say, well, it's not me, and I'll beg to differ. It is you. Some of us are afraid to lose whatever you think you're about to lose or may lose or think of losing when it's not even a part of God's plan for you to lose. Hello, somebody. Because God has a plan. How many agree? You are part of that plan. How many understand that? And whatever you must learn, we're going to learn here in the book, starting with the book of Deuteronomy, because the word fear is written over 500 times in the Bible. Say 500. Well, there's two types of definitions for fear. One is the one we forget, and that's reverence. Fear God. Not afraid. Reverence. And it's written 500 times, or actually a little 502. You know, but we got to get to the place because it means to revere, reverence, or the other opposite one. And it's almost like the word. How many know what Yahweh means? Yahweh means another. It's another name of our God. Say amen. But the opposite of one of giving reverence to our God is Yahweh. Yahweh in the Hebrew. Yahweh means frightened, to be afraid, be scared. And how many know that God has not called us to be afraid? God has called us to be strong. Come on, say amen, somebody. He's called us to be who we're to be. I'm amazed of how many I know and have known and have met that in this world and on the streets out there, you're afraid of nothing, but they come to God. And we become so fearful. I'm not afraid. Yeah, you are. Wait till the devil acts up and we'll see who you really are. And it's amazing because we get so timid. We get so in a place where God has not called us to be like this. You know, he's called us to be what? Strong and of good courage. Deuteronomy, as they're about to exit out of the wilderness of the deserts of 40 years, which should have only been a couple of weeks. How many know they should have never been in the desert for 40 years? But he had them out there because it took that long for he could deal with them, only to get them in a place that you're not going to get the promised land. That's for us to have learned. That's for us to learn. And we're going to get to the place where if you've not heard this, that the word out of the 500 times the word fear not has been composed to be written 365 days. What does that mean to you, 365 days? That's our year. Somebody say amen. So that means for every day of the year is a written word that we be not afraid. In truth, you won't find the word that we're going to discuss, fear not, but you're going to find it in a different interpretation. Because, you know, okay, we know we're not to be frightened. We understand that. And so how's it going to be? And you're going to see it and you're going to learn it right here as we keep going forward. This is why this morning we got to get to the places that we get here and understand what God is doing in this day. You see, you're not fighting the enemy. Our troops are. Come on, that's why we have to be thankful for our troops. Amen, somebody. Our military are out there, right? Come on. They're out there fighting for our peace, for our enjoyment, for our what we want to choose to do today. Wherever all these that are gone, I know that they're not sick. God already revealed they're not sick. In fact, one got so blessed this week, you'd think they would be here. But they're not. Why? Well, only God knows why, right? Because it's what's more important. We got money, honey. So what are we going to do this weekend? Haven't been to church for a couple of weeks. What are we going to do? We just got blessed. What are we going to do? Well, the right thing would be come and thank the Lord that not only did he spare you, but come and show your reverence, the opposite word of being afraid, timid. come show your God your thankfulness. Because in the Word, it's all like this. In the book of Deuteronomy, it's a good writing. I love the Deuteronomy, especially chapter 28, because he talks in chapter 11 about choose this day, blessings or cursing. And then 28 describes the blessings versus the curses. I said, oh my God, what do you choose? Well, today I choose to do what also he tells us to do this morning. And that is verse number 30. In chapter 31, Deuteronomy, King James Version, verse number 6. Help me here, Holy Spirit. And we're going to read the word here. It says, be strong. And, not just strong, and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that does go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor will he forsake thee. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we need this word this morning, but we can't do this without you. We can't do it without your anointing. We can't be in the person you've called us to be without your Spirit, without your presence. We know you're with us. We know you're here because it is written, wherever two or three have gathered, you are in our midst. We believe in this, Father. We believe also that you are not only in our midst, you are in us. And this morning, Father, in this exact day of the month of March in 2026, Lord God, speak to us about this, what is challenging or possibly it will be challenging throughout the day ahead, Father, that you're telling us this morning to be strong and of good courage and not to fear or be afraid, but to remember that you're what your word has written, that who you are. And we pray this that we understand in Jesus' name. And you have to understand what is being said to Moses to the children of Israel. How many of you know you are the children of Israel in 2026? You are the apple of God's eye in 2026. Prior to the new covenant, you could not be. You would be accepted and you would be an alien in the group known as the Israelites. For you that know the story at this point, they're about to enter a place that God has designed and designated for them to be in. They're about to cross over the Jordan and go into their promised land. However, it wasn't that he was just giving them this land as promised to his forefathers. And how many know, as the forefathers, we have that promise today. We are the children of Abraham. How many understand that we are children of Abraham? And we have everything that has been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, now the name, that we are a part of that promise to be receiving. However, understanding about why is he giving this order? You know, this is a command. He's not asking you. He's telling you, be strong. I'm amazed at how some of God's people are strong in certain areas, but when the challenge comes, who are you? Where are you? They run and they hide. Why? What happened? You were Mr. Tuffy. You were this brave soldier. Where did you go? Because something grips their heart. The reverence turned into fearfulness. And God didn't call us, but you got to understand. He's saying, look, what's ahead of you? Proof was given. How many know that proof has already been given to us about not to fear? How many are afraid of flying? Well, then go get on a flight. That's how you overcome it. Because I love flying, say amen, somebody. And I know my nephew was one of them. And what I did for them when I in his first coming together, I put him on a plane. Go get in that plane. Come on, say amen. Why? You're going to get rid of your fear. How many ever rode a horse and fell off it? I've ridden a horse and fell off. So what did we do? Never got back on again. No. That's what my mind said. But the person said, get back on it, because it let them know who's in charge. Hello, somebody. Oftentimes, things are going to take its course and do what it's called to do, that you can face what you need to face that you can be an overcomer. Because if you know the scriptures, greater is he, 1 John 4:4, than the one that's in the world. Greater is he that's in us. Say, in me. How many realize the greater one is in me? Oh, you won't know this until you try to know how good he is. And so he's writing these words. He spoke them. This is Moses before he departs. How many know Moses didn't make it? He had to put up for 40 years with 1 to 3 million people whining and complaining. Come on. And so it doesn't matter the size. Whining is whining. Complaining is complaining. How many of you really love complaining and whining? Not be the one doing it, but the one has to hear it. I don't like it in my house. Come on. We have nothing to complain about. Come on. You know, I've heard Eric complain about church in my past, and now what's our excuse? It always was the parking lot at our last place, because the parking was a little difficult, right? Because it was parking for 4 cars or 5 cars, and you know, like, well, we got this whole big street and that street to park in. Or you can park in the field, but you know, I mean, they didn't want to get their shoes dirty. I mean, we're worried about the mud. Hello, right? But now I got a good parking. Now what's the excuse, right? We always got reason. Too cold, too hot. Come on. Rain. Can't go to church today. It's too rain. It's too cool. You know, we can't do that. So, but understanding that this man that's giving the final warnings is commanding the ones, and that's you now, that are going to make heaven your home. That's your promised land today. Hello. You're not supposed to be in a place where you think this is going to be forever for you. You have been promised to go into the heavens. Come on. That's the promised land, exactly like the children of Israel. Look, that all that's for you, but the only ones that made that was 20 and above, except for two that were above age, and that was Joshua, one of them that we're going to read next, and Caleb, which Caleb was a strong man of God. Hello, somebody. But this man, Moses, I said, oh, my God. And all he did was strike the rock twice when the Lord said, speak to the rock. All he did was hit it because he was frustrated. He was angry. I would have told God, take him. And when God wanted to take him at one time because God got angry. Can you imagine God got angry? Can you imagine God got angry with his creation? Hello? That even told the man of God, I'm only going to deal with you. I'm going to bless you and you only. Get ready. I'm going to destroy them all. So think of what a 1 million to 3 million number. I don't care. I'm going to destroy all of them. But here comes Moses. What a man. What a man. Here comes Moses. Don't do that. Because if you do that, what's the world going to think like? What is Egypt going to think like? Why did you rescue them out of slavery only to take them out and destroy them? What kind of God would that be? Hello, that's for us to understand. Because I probably would have said, take them. See, I don't lie. I would say, take them. Just take them. I don't want to hear this. I can't be with my family because I got to be listening to you constantly. Hello? Nah, we got nothing to eat. We got nothing to drink. How many know the story of that? How many really know the story of the children of Israel coming out of slavery out of Egypt? After 400 years of slavery coming out, and finally got rescued after the cries. And they got rescued by the Almighty God only to start complaining. Forget about the Red Sea. We're in the desert now. Everybody got destroyed. You just saw everybody got destroyed, how God swallowed them all up. You think, but then all they started crying and complaining. We got nothing to eat because we're in the desert. We got all this gold. We got all this silver. But there's no marketplace here. There's nothing. There's no malls. Hello? We're hungry. We want meat. If you know the story, they had cattle. They had sheep. They had goats. If you know the true story, how could you say we have nothing to eat? This sound like you all, right? Have you ever looked in the cupboards? There's nothing on the fridge. There's nothing to eat. Have you ever said that? Watch out, because God will make it where there is really nothing to eat. This is why I've learned, don't say you don't have no money, honey, when you have money in the bank or you have it in investment. Just because I've learned to say I don't have any on me. Because I've been tested where he took it all. And you don't, I'm telling on a testimony, don't let him take it all. And I mean, he wiped me clean completely. Even my big bottles of sparkling water empty water filled with coins. He stripped us. Why? Because I said it. Now he's proving it. Now he's got to prove me. Because that's what he'll do. He'll prove you to prove him. Come on. This is why he's giving the statement. There's the land. I said I'm giving it to you. But Moses, tell them this. Because you're not going to be there for them. There's only going to be two that's going to be leading them from your clan, Moses. Hello? And so there it is. Tell them, though. I command them to be strong. This morning, saying, be strong because of what you may see, what you may hear, what you're hearing and seeing. I don't know why you're afraid to die, some of you. Why are you afraid to die? Shoot, if you die, you're going to live. You should never be afraid of dying. You should be ready to be and meet death. Hello, somebody. Come on. Why? Because we're not of this world. We have a kingdom of heaven waiting for us. And we have loved ones that are already entered. How many have loved ones in the heavens? I have a lot of families already because we got to lead them into that place that I'm waiting. And I told my wife recently, I entered here to my prayer commitments because I have a prayer commitment with God here. If you want to come, you can come join me. But you're going to be praying for about an hour to an hour and a half. Or maybe more until God says that's enough. And you're not going to understand a lot of it because I'll be praying in my language. But he understands this. And I told my wife, you know what? I seen my mother and I seen my brother again. I know where they're at. They're in the heavens. Am I being prepared to go? Absolutely. Am I prepared? I'm ready. But not yet. Not yet, God. I got things I want to see in this church. I want to see not a revival. I want to see every seat full with discipleship. Discipling. People ready to be hungry, going out there to pray. That's just a prayer. We're ready to pray. Come on, say amen. And we had three people stop to pray. Hello. One, you know, was an amazing one, but we'll leave it at that. But here's the command here. Getting back about the hour of the day that most people don't know, but you should know. If anybody has an answer, you have the answer. Say amen, somebody. And so here's the command. He's saying, that is yours, but if you don't understand this, go to the book of Joshua, the next book. Go to the book of Joshua. And look what he's going to tell the only one, the one of the two, what he's got to tell them, because he's going to, okay, we hear you, Moses. We hear you, Moses. That's Joshua speaking in a sense. We hear you, Caleb says. We hear you, the children of Israel. We hear you. How many have heard the word of God before? How many have heard the word of God? Well, he's coming to tell you one more time. Come on, because Joshua heard it. But now watch this. He heard it through the man of God named Moses. Correct? Everything is Moses. But now Moses is gone in the book of Joshua. He's gone. Moses, because his disobedience to a word. A disobedience. I told you to say the word, not use force. I didn't tell you to hit the rock. And because of that, you're not making heaven your home. No, you're not making it to the promised land. Yes, it's not the heaven home. Sometimes you better understand, be careful of the hour we're in. No, you're not hearing this. This is something you don't want to hear. But here, doesn't matter. Life is gone. Life is moving. Moses is gone. All the children of Israel from 20 and older are gone. They all got wiped out one way or another. And all that they had to see, you don't want to see what they saw. Come on. Now Joshua is in control. Joshua has been chosen. How many know you've been chosen? You've been chosen to lead a God's people. How many know who that is? We heard it today, train up a child. That's God's purpose. Train up. You have children, your duty is to train them up. You have a duty. Train them up in the ways they should. is that they should. You'll know. You'll know. It doesn't mean they're going to serve. But it says it may be well for them. Come on. We fight for it. We fought to be for it. We fight for our children. We fought for our family. We're fighting for whoever God will have after that. You know, our children's children's children, 1,000 generations, right? We heard the song. Come on. But look at Joshua and what God has to come. And now this is Joshua, right? So get the man of God, Moses. And now let's get the man of God, Joshua. Put yourself in this position. Verse number 9 says, "Have I not commanded thee?" Church, has he not commanded you? Some of you are so tough when it comes to the things of the world, but when it comes to the things of God, we're so fearful, so timid. You know, I can't be out there and pray for somebody. Why? Because that's just not my nature. I'm an introvert. What's that? Well, I have issues. Who said that you should pray, that you shouldn't pray because you have issues? If you look at the Bible, they all had issues. Come on. Every one of them had issues that shouldn't have even been allowed to be a king, number one. A leader of God's people, number two. Come on. Verse 7 again, Joshua 1 said, 9, "Have I not commanded thee?" Listen, church, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. How many know that wherever you are, he is? How many understand that no matter where they are today in their absence, God is there, watching, listening? Hello? Most likely going to protect them. Because we don't know what's coming after us, but being children of God, we have an enemy that's against us. Hello, how many understand this? We have an enemy that's not for us. And what we don't want to see our God be put in a position as we know of the position of those that he used in the past, because God likes to brag on us. How many know God likes to brag on you? How many know that he doesn't brag about your weaknesses? He brags about your strength, right? When he talked about Job, right? The enemy talked about Job because the enemy knows Job, but so does God. He never brought his weakness up. See, God already knew the weakness. He knew that his children were more important. He knew that his cattle was important, his riches. How many know that? He never said that weakness was in him. So stop talking about your weaknesses. Talk about your strengths, because you all have a strength. And you're never going to get to that place with God unless you have understood this command. This is not, I'm not asking you. God is saying, I'm telling you, be strong. And not in the wrong sense of being strong, but be of good courage. Be happy. What? You should be happy. Why? Because look at your life. It is better than you think it is. You're here. You made it. You're making it. Come on. And you're only allowed to be here because I'm allowing you to be here. But don't forget what I've done for you. Now, how many know that Joshua can look back and see and talk about all the experiences that he saw? How many know he saw a lot of experiences? You know what? He saw one of the actual Levite families called Korath get swallowed up with his family because his attitude, say attitude, because of his thinking. Just because God uses you, don't you think you're greater than the one God's using? Don't ever put yourself in that place. And because he did that and he was stirring up the pot, how many know what stirring the pot is? Don't you be a pot stirrer. Don't you start being like this. Be strong and of good courage, yes, but don't be a pot stirrer, because if you know the storyline of Korath and his family, God's going to use you as an example. He'll do that to us. Hello? And you don't want to know the examples I have seen of many, many that God has intervened. Not that we pray against for it. I says, Lord, all I can say is forgive them, but they're your issues, not mine. Because I don't got time. I got to move on. Come on, because your years are going quickly and days are going even quicker. So he saw it, and in front of everybody, say everybody, God opened the ground and took his wife, his kids and all his belongings, his tent and everything in his belongings, opened up the ground and swallowed it up and then closed it up in front of everybody. You see, sometimes we think God's not going to allow that to happen. You're wrong. He'll try to get your attention. He'll try to put an intervention before you. But if you don't listen to what he's trying to tell you, he's going to have to use you as an example. Why? Because you're bringing cancer into the crowd. And I mean, no, God is not a God that wants cancer in his crowd. He hates those that cause discord among the brethren. Book of Proverbs will tell you that. He hates this. He hates. God hates. Come on. But being who we are, have I not commanded? Yes, be strong. Because wherever you go, I'm there. But before you go, I go. Oh, you're not here. You're not hearing me today. Let's go to the book of Isaiah real quick. I got several I want to cover with you before. I have a dedication of a child this morning. How many know that? I'm going to do a dedication this morning. Go to Isaiah chapter 41. Today we're going to dedicate Leilani. Come on. I may not be able to hold her because she was giving me looks last week. Oh my God. I said, those are going to kill me if I even touch you. Come on, are you here? It's humorous, but she's got looks I can kill. But I'm so glad she can't kill me because I'm already dead. Right. The prophet Isaiah is speaking what he's going to be speaking. Remember, we're talking 1,000 years later, 2,000 years later. We're talking about a time. Say time. Since Jesus, we're about 2026, if we go by the calendar years we've been using. This is 2,000 years later that we're hearing what they heard 4,000 years ago, what they heard 6,000 years ago. Why? Because God's word never ceases. It will cease when he says to cease, but he's never going to cease it, because everything's going to stop is everything you have, everything you own, everything that you believe in is going to come to an end. Everything. But the only thing that's going to survive is his word. That's why David says, I hid it in my heart because I don't want to sin against you. And how many know he was a sinner of sinners? Come on. He was a thief? No, he was. He stole somebody's wife. That's thievery. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He murdered twice. Say twice. What do you mean? He murdered when he was in slavery. Right? He wasn't in slavery, but he was a part of the slavery. He murdered one that was giving the children of Israel a hard time. Right, that's why he escaped from Egypt, all the luxury life that he had. Because luxury life doesn't mean you're going to, because you have, let me put it like this, prosperity doesn't take the evil out of your heart. It's there because it's in your heart. And it will come to exposure. When you least expect it, which caused him to run after he killed that one that was giving the slaves a hard time. Killed him and realized he had to run and flee. Why? Because God has to deal with him now. And he dealt with him for 40 years. Come on. You went from sitting on next to the throne down to the sitting next to the sheep, taking care of them, right? Changing their diapers. Hello. But look what he said, what Isaiah is going to say now, 2,000 years later. On verse number 10. Again, look at these words. Fear not, for I am with thee. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Isn't that what he told Joshua? Whoa, whoa. Isn't that what he told Moses? And we don't understand the time between Moses and Joshua, do we? We think, well, it's just the next day. No, it's not the next day. It's years before that takes course. And so now we're, okay, well, we understand Moses. Joshua, that, I don't care if it was 10 years, 13, 20, 15, doesn't matter. It's fresh. Say fresh. Yeah, you are fresh. Come on, say amen. Now here we are a couple thousand years later, and the prophet is speaking, fear not. Why? Because I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will now strengthen you. Yea, I will help thee. On verse number 10. Yes, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness. This is something he's trying to establish in us about this word called fear, not the reverencing, the frightening, the timidity way, the ways of being scared. I'm trying to tell you, I'm with you. How many get that? He's with us this morning. No matter where you are, he was on top of the mountains yesterday with you. Come on, say amen. He was at the Thai spoon with us yesterday, or whatever it's called. We're hungry. We were here for a long time yesterday. And John had lunch, so he didn't want lunch. Talking about lunch, have you seen what's happening in Building C? Thank the Lord for that man. I'm going to tell you, thank the Lord for that man right now. He's got a lot. He knows about Jesus dollars. He knows all about that right now. I'm not going to have to tell you. He'll tell you himself. But how many like the way the yards are looking? Come on. Thank the God for that. The one out there, John Tafoya, getting out there in that tractor lawnmower with us, getting out there like Green Acres. Come on. Amen. We're getting there. Say, man. Next week when you get here. If you want something, get here at 8:30. Because at 9 o'clock, we're going to be sending you out to your positions, what we're going to do outside, inside. But here, fear not. There it comes. Don't be afraid. I know what you see, but you don't see what I see. That's the Lord speaking. Come on, are you with me? No. You don't understand, Pastor. Yeah, we do. Look at what Psalms 23 says. And first number, Psalms 23, real quick. I'm going to end this because I got to do a dedication. And then after the dedication, the family has decided to feed us. Come on, say amen. We're going to have a quick luncheon. Amen. And you're not invited. It's just the pastor. I'm joking. Amen. And if that, you know, real quick, like if you know me, would I accept that? Yes, I would. If we're taking me out to lunch. But if you're going to have it here, you feed me, you got to feed them. So those that are absent are missing out on a treat. Come on, the fellowship that's needed. But look at what the psalmist is going to write to us. You know Psalms 23. I mean, you know Psalms 23, the Lord is my what? What is he? He's the great shepherd. We're the under shepherd. How many understand that? We are sheep to God. Hello. And he loves his sheep. He loves his sheep. That's why he said, I'm going to be led to the slaughter. I'm going to take it for you. Amen. And so here he is going to tell us the exact same thing at a different time zone on Psalms 23 and verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of, I will. Lies. Which should be a truth. You know, we say that God cannot lie. God does not lie. Can I tell you something? That if God was to lie, it'd be a truth. No, you didn't catch that. So stop listening to the lie about what you hear about your God. Because if that was true, it will become a truth. But it's not true because he is the Lord our God. Come on. And he's already expressing to you. If anybody can express this, it's King David. He says, yo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I heard what you said to Moses. I wasn't there. Can I tell you something? He didn't have a Bible either. And what they said to Joshua, I heard. Remember, he don't have a Bible. It's not written everywhere for them. But he knows what he heard. He knows what he was told. He knows what it was to be a part of the church world out there. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Why? I cannot be afraid. When's the last time you faced a lion? When's the last time you faced a bear protecting the sheep? And you're only 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. When's the last time you faced a true lion? In essence, let's bring it to our day. When's the last hardest test you faced? Did I not bring you through it? Wasn't I not with you? Did I not fulfill my promise that I'm going to go in it with you? This is where we have a hard time. It could be a lion, it could be a bear, but either way, didn't I give you the ability to go through it? And the only reason that we went through it is because He was with us. He allowed what had to be faced. He allowed what had to become, but He only did it that we could see who we were. Your outcome. Look at your outcome. You're here today because He's letting us know that even though these times will come, whatever it is, your darkest day, remember, I am with you. And remember what I did for you. Because David had a lot that he's already seen. So he trusted, right? If you're going to do this for me, we heard about Goliath a little bit. What is your giant that you have to face yet? That's going to be bigger from the last one you faced. That He delivered you the last one, last time you faced it. Come on. We have faced so many giants. It's amazing that our good our God is. It's wonderful when you submit to Him. It's wonderful when you hear Him, listen to Him, submit to Him and what He wants to do for you. And then He's going to tell you, I've been wanting to do this since I've called you. But you interfered with my ways. You have interfered for my understanding. You have interfered with the instructions I've given you. I didn't tell you, but to speak it, you had to go hit it. You hear what I'm saying, church? It's very easy. We heard the testimony. I was sad. And you're going to be sad when the love of your life is absent. Come on, say amen. Some of you don't learn from these. Learn that we can understand that there God is with you. God is with you. Pray for Hap. Pray for him. He misses his wife. Come on, church. Oh, no, you don't understand that because yours is there. I got time. I got to be watching mine. No, pray for him. Pray for Henry. We've been praying for Miss Beautiful here. We've been praying for Miss Carlita. And here she is. Come on. They weren't getting a divorce. She was with her family. He knew it. He could have been there. Right? He could have been there. You could have just packed up and let's get on my motorcycle and let's go. Right? You could have done that, but he stayed here, let her be, and now welcome home. Right? Welcome home. But he's here to tell you, on your darkest days, remember, you've had the darkest days, but I delivered you. Come on. I was with you. I went in it with you. Come on, say amen, somebody. That's Old Testament, Pastor. That's all right, but you don't understand. You don't get where we're at. You know, I have a family. I have a mortgage. I got rent. I got a car payment. Well, you should have woken up to a better understanding. Why do you have a house payment? Why do you have rent? Why don't you just sleep outside? It's free. Come on. They call homelessness. Hello? Book of Matthew's real quick, like chapter 6. I'm closing now. I'm going to close you out here. I got to go. I got to go to lunch with the family. You're invited to come. You just got to pay for yourselves. Come on, say amen. You're going to be at the Cornerstone Praise Center's beautiful yard outside. Amen. Chapter 6, Book of Matthew's. We're going to be in the new covenant because I heard what you just said. You don't understand. You don't get where we're at, Pastor. You know what we gotta to about life, because some of us are so caught up of life and everything that life is challenging you with that you forgot all that He has done for you. We've read it, right, from Moses. What was one of the greatest tasks that you think Moses got to see? To me, the Red Sea experience. Come on. I'm bringing you out of slavery. I'm going to take you to a promised land, Moses. I'm going to use you to take them. And next thing you know, they're gone. Next thing you know, the Egyptians are coming after them. And now, you got nowhere to go. How many know what it feels to have your back against the wall? I got nothing else I can do. Nowhere to go. That sounds like the children of Israel. You brought us out here to die. That's the first time they really said it to Moses. And then throughout the whole journey, you brought us out here to die. Why? Because you forgot the Red Sea experience. You forgot that he was there when you called him. You forgot there when you prayed that he answered your prayer. You forgot that when whatever it was that you needed, you went before him. You got an agreed prayer. You were in the prayer line and you forgot that he heard you and delivered you. Come on, brought you out. So a reminder about the reverencing, no, about being frightened because of today is different. You know, we got all of these expenses. You don't know what expenses are. Sit where I sit. Come on, sit right. I dare you. You want to see our books? I'll show you the books. And I'll show you what faith is all about. Come on. She knows it now. You know, I'm glad that my hair should be white. What I have left. I bless the Lord for that. But look what here Jesus is saying and talking. Say Jesus. And he's saying on this chapter of the book of Matthew 6, verse 34. Watch this. It says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall not take thought for the things of itself. For sufficient unto today is the evil thereof. We're so concerned with everything. Some of us, I told you, plan for 1,000 years, but live for one day, today only. Because you don't know what's coming. All that may not come, but what is he saying about? Who is your provider? Who made provision for you? How many come from poor? How many come from poor? I mean really poor. Dirt poor. In America. My wife and I know Portum. I don't care what. We've seen the Portum in other countries. Mexico, we pray for them constantly, right? That's where our missionaries at. Amen. Feeding the kids. How many had to go to school with holes in your shoes? Hello? Patches on your clothes to only be ridiculed and made fun of. How many really like that? Without anything to eat. They didn't have free lunches back then. Come on, church. Poor Dom, to come home like many do, look in the refrigerator and say there's nothing to eat when there's all kinds of things, just being lazy. Come on, church. I don't want to talk where I came from. I'll talk where I'm at right now. I'm going to my refrigerator right now, and I have to decide, what do I want to make? Nothing. Why? Because I'm not in the mood. Where's my wife? I'm going to wait till she makes something, then I'll eat. Anybody like that? Come on. That's being honest, right? I do that sometimes. I'm okay, but no, I can go in the pantry. Anybody have a pantry? Huh? You look in your pantry lately? I have a cup of noodles. Hey, a cup of noodles. It's not for me. It's for the grandkids. Can't touch that. Hello? No. Oh, ramen noodles. Anybody want ramen noodles? Cup of sodium. Cup of sodium, however you like it. Have a ramen burrito. Come on. Huh? I have nothing. Your closet. Did you have a hard time dressing yourself this morning? What should I wear? Now, what shoes should I put on? What socks do I have to wear? Should I be with a t-shirt or not? Should I? Just to come down, man, I have nothing to wear. Come on, church. Be careful for that, because what he's saying to us, be not afraid. Take no thought, therefore. Because you don't know what you're saying. Come on, say amen. As we prepare to close you out, I'm going to close you out with the Gospel of John. I got more right here. I give you a lot more if you, but I'm going to close it out right here. I'm going to do my best now. I'm going to close you out with John chapter 14. I'm going to give it to you because when you let fear dominate you, or when you let fear rise up, or when you let fear have a say, you don't realize what you're losing. You're going to lose the peace of mind that God gave you. You're going to miss. You're going to see the peace that God has given you, and be released. Because how many know God came to give us peace? No, not what the world is giving you. That only He can give you. That will satisfy Psalms 23 and 4. That'll satisfy and understand Joshua 1 and 9. That'll satisfy Deuteronomy 31. Will satisfy all that we've been talking about. You know, Isaiah. He'll bring it into your life because Psalms, the Gospel of John, verse 27 of the 14th chapter, King James Version says, "Peace I leave with you." Did you know this was, he's talking to disciples. He's not talking to the world. You need to stop worrying about the world. Pray for the world, but be concerned for the body of Christ, you. Come on. "Peace I leave with you." Who? You. Say me. "My peace." Look, his peace I give unto who? Who? "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your," go to song, "heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." As we close you out, the Bible has described, and there's 400 more scriptures that is written somewhere about the word fear. This morning, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to beg of you, but if you're insisting, stop listening to what you shouldn't be listening to. We're not in a doom days. Jesus is coming, absolutely. He's coming. But I shared something with someone, Gloria, yesterday. I said, how do you know that we're not in a thousand-year millennium time? How do you know that all these before us that have claimed that he's coming, that have been through what we have never seen, believe that he came, and now we're living the millennium years, the thousand years that he's going to lose Satan one more time? How do you know we're not in that hour of 1,000 years? Because we don't know. I said, but you can have peace in your heart. Yes, you do know. Why? Because at 1,000 years, there's no Spirit of God. Right now, the peace we have is his Spirit. What we have today is that comfort of his Spirit. What we understand is that office of the Spirit of God that he has given us is to bring us to all understanding of the almighty way and life of our God. Say amen. He's not going to never leave you. You're going to leave him. You're going to forsake him, but he's going to be right there. Come on. He's asked you to trust him, and you'll trust him to a point where you forget about the trust and you start trusting in yourself. Amen. Because God is good. But I'm here to tell you this morning, be not. And you fill in the rest. But it should be, fear not. Why? Because I am with you. Let us go take this day. Let us be an example to the day. Come on. Let us be what we're called to be in the day. Hello. And let us be that victorious in today. For God has called us. And demanding, as he commands, be strong and of good courage. Hello. Say amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stay seated.